Hi, this is Mark Wade, writer of Daredevil, and you're listening to Longbox Heroes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 383 of Longbox Heroes. I'm Joe. He's Todd. How are you?
I'm good. Is 383 a palindrome show?
No. It's definitely not a prime number either, because I don't think it could be divided by more than just one in itself.
Right.
And that's another shout-out to Podvocacy, but more on them later.
Okay.
They've been in the news lately, because they had my... they saved you, Todd. Little did they know that they would be saving you from only slightly hearing about the world of professional wrestling.
I know. Anybody who'll take that bullet for me, I'm happy with.
But we've got a jam-packed show here today. We have discussions of, at the very least, a top 10 comic book company being purchased. We also have discussions of what is going on with the Disney comics and more TV shows coming for the DCU.
Ooh.
Also, we have conventions, digital sales and freebies, what we read this past week, which is Southern Bastards number 19, and more than likely a spoiler-filled discussion of Thanos number 15. We have a preview review book, as well as what we're most looking forward to coming out this week. A dip into the mailbag, discussion of the most recent episode of The Flash, as of like a week ago's episode, because we're always a week behind because of the recording and the show. And who knows what else might be coming up in the course of the events of episode 383 of this show.
Mm-hmm.
So, Todd, I guess let's start with the big news. Here, and that is that Valiant, publisher of all sorts of different comics, everything from the Exo Manowar to Shadow Man to Ninjak to Quantum and Woody, has been purchased by the Chinese investment firm DMG. And I think this is the same company that was funding a lot of these properties to be made into movies.
Right.
And I know there had been discussion of, like, when we were going to start seeing these movies start being made or released. And I know even just a few weeks ago there was talk that Vin Diesel was going to play Bloodshot or something. But it was just in the rumor and innuendo column.
Right. He's too busy playing Black Bolt. No, wait, that's something else.
Right, so Dan Mintz, who is the founder of DMG Entertainment. The press release, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he previously had a significant stake in Valiant, but now he has complete ownership of the company. Now, right. Obviously, it's a little too early to know what's going to happen to a lot of these things, but I'm just cherry-picking some stuff from the press release. Where it says that they acquired Valiant Entertainment, the third largest universe of superhero characters in entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm not saying nothing.
Right, right. Their priority is to build on Valiant's universe of characters from a filmmaker perspective. And they're, of course, looking to, you know, they talk about all the stuff that's in production. Bloodshot and Harbinger through Sony Films, Quantum and Woody TV show, Dr. Mirage TV show, which I was unaware of prior to this. And, you know, they're just looking to make this brand a more viable option. And, okay. You know, we've had some fun Valiant expense in the past, mostly you. And Valiant has been very gracious to us in the past as well in regards to supplying us stuff as a giveaway of Quantum and Woody stuff, as it was a book that we've been very much looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
So on the surface, this seems like their intentions are good. It's essentially, you know, Marvel's big, DC's big. Who's to say there can't be place in the marketplace for a third cinematic universe and more penetration of these characters? It seems as though the intentions are good, but I don't know how much visibility these characters have currently, and how much work is going to have to go into starting that brand visibility before we start seeing if these movies and TV shows and everything else that they have planned can even be considered anything, let alone a success or a failure.
Well, it's a long haul, because I get what you're saying, because if Valiant wants to do it, or this company wants to do it, it's going to take time, because, like, we didn't just get to, you know, Batman and Spider-Man and Iron Man in the movies. Like, you know, it trickled out. It was the comics. Then years ago, we had like a cartoon here or there and the Batman TV show and stuff like that. And that's how it became, you know, in the consciousness of the, you know, the world. So it's going to take, you're not just going to have like Ninjak and then tomorrow Ninjak is going to be world famous. It's going to take tries and you got to start eventually. So I wish them luck. I think, all joking aside, as it is a book that we push on this show a lot, something like Quantum and Woody is quirky and different, could, you know, work at, with the TV show that's coming up, especially the talent they have behind the scenes working on it. But all they need is one of these, whatever IPs to just catch, and you're pretty good. You know what I mean? Like a little thing like Iron Man. Nobody knew who, like, not a lot of people knew who Iron Man were before the movie hit. You get a star, you get a good movie, and stuff could turn around quick. So I wish them the best of luck.
I do too. And just, you know, thinking to myself, they need to do something big, as you mentioned. I say you start off with a float in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, mm-hmm. all the Valiant characters. You market it as a superhero universe with, and the verbiage is what's going to need to be worked on,
mm-hmm.
but you advertise it as, this is the superhero universe with no baggage. You don't need to read or know, you know, 10s or 20s or 50s of years of comic book continuity. Get it on the ground floor of the brand, you know, the hottest new superhero universe this side of Timbuktu.
Right.
You know, you need to convince the people that they want to be in on this when it starts.
Right.
And you had mentioned before, all it'll take is one to hit. And, you know, we've talked before about Vin Diesel's going to do this, and the Russo brothers are involved with this. That's what you need to do. You need to get and use the pedigree of these writers, these actors, these directors who have a cachet, whether it be a cachet doing superhero stuff or just a cachet period. Attach your property to them, and hopefully the project is actually good. Because mm-hmm. if it's not, then you're going to get stuff like what happened with the Universal monster movies thing from last year, how they were going to launch a whole cinematic universe out of the Tom Cruise Mummy film.
Ugh, yeah.
And they're like, Johnny Depp's going to be the Invisible Man, Russell Crowe's going to be Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and like all this other nonsense. And based on the failure of that Mummy movie, even overseas, it failed overseas. And they're just like, yeah, we're not even going to bother anymore. After all that time and money and planning and everything else went into, we're going to build this cinematic universe, they give up after one movie.
I'll tell you. I don't even know. Do you remember when something was a hit and then you'd run from there?
Right.
I don't know. But I have Valiant's sure-fired way of getting their name on the map.
All right.
With these superhero universe. Steal an idea. SeaWorld water ski show with all the Valiant characters.
Right.
And just like the old days, like just, you know, put it on the back of comics and like, you need like really crappy costumes and stuff.
Well, that's my thought process for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
I know, but I think the water ski show would be even better.
I like the water ski show as well. That's a good idea as well.
And while we're at it, why don't we steal them stealing that idea and have the Long Box Heroes water ski show? Just two big, like, mascot Joe and Todd's water skiing at SeaWorld.
Right.
Fantastic.
And if they want us to be the official podcast of whatever they're doing going forward, you know, our DMs are open. We say our email address on the show. Just contact us. You know, we've been in touch before. Let's start something going here, huh?
Oh, I would love to get in contact with SeaWorld.
Mm-hmm. Or to a lesser extent, Busch Gardens.
Busch Gardens would be fine.
Right, right.
Six Flags.
Right, well, Six Flags already has the DC stuff, right?
Oh, so that would be a match made in heaven.
What do you mean?
Well, we'd be able to promote their stuff. They could give us the comps. It'd be great.
No, I think they need to get, like, Dorney Park or something.
Oh, Knoebels.
Oh, Knoebels. You see, now there you go. Let me see what Dorney Park has these days, because I know for the longest time, like, they had, like, Berenstain Bears and, like, Snoopy and all this other nonsense. Right. I don't even know what they have these days.
Dorney would be fantastic. And they have a water park, too, so we could go in our Speedos.
Oh, boy.
Two Namors.
You and I going to the water park as a cautionary tale.
That's right. This could happen to you.
Yes. But no, it looks like all they have these days is Snoopy.
Good enough. I'm willing to go.
And what world do we live in where, like, Snoopy hasn't been scooped up by, like, some sort of other giant conglomerate? How is Snoopy just out there as a thing unto itself?
Because I think Peanuts is still owned by the family.
That never stopped, you know, these multi-mega corporations.
Well, I know for years, actually, like, the family guarded. Like, the only thing that they ever let them use was, like, for MetLife, and that was it for years. They were like, we're not going to shill, but I guess, you know, you get third-generation Schultzes, and boom. Put Snoopy on everything.
Maybe King's Dominion can do the Valiant stuff.
Right, there you go.
Cedar Point, is that the one in the Midwest that has all the fancy roller coasters?
I don't know. I've never been to the Midwest.
Oh,
I flew over it once.
You flew over? Those are the flyover states. We don't really acknowledge those on this metropolitan show of ours.
Yeah, technically I flew over it twice because I had to come back.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I figured you would just go around the other way.
That's right.
Oh, remind me later, so I'm not boring the listeners, about my chopper.
Your chopper.
My helicopter.
Okay. All right.
So moving along in the news, we had actually discussed this a little while back when the merger happened, when Disney purchased Fox and where all those properties were going to. Mm-hmm. And we had talked about how so many of the Disney properties were all over the place when it came to comics. And there was a company called Joe's Books, it's just Joe Books, that was doing a whole bunch of Disney comic books. Well, Joe Books recently lost the rights to do the Frozen comic books, because now, of course, the Frozen comic books are going to be done by Dark Horse.
That's right. They're stealing some of those Disney products.
I guess, but like, and this is the other crazy thing. So, Joe Books has, you know, Cinderella, Beauty and the Beast, Darkwing Duck, 101 Dalmatians, Coco, and then they have the comic book for Big Hero 6. You know, the Disney property that was based off a Marvel comic book?
Right.
The Disney comic book of the Marvel property of the Disney movie is being published by another company.
I officially don't understand licensing anymore.
Neither do I. So it's strange that just after, in the whole purchase, Dark Horse is going to be losing the Conan license, but are picking up the Frozen license.
I don't know. I think that's a win for them.
And the writer who's announced for the Frozen comics is a guy, Joe Carmanga, who actually does all ages books for Marvel. He's like their number one or number two guy who does all ages books at Marvel.
In 2 weeks, we're going to be announcing Marvel buying Dark Horse.
I don't know, Todd. This is the Disney licensees for their comic books confounds me.
Mm-hmm.
This would be like whoever's in charge of Disney taking $10 million of stock out to set up a separate company where they use all of the resources and cameras and buildings and so forth of Disney to, I don't know, redo a soccer league or something.
Oh, football?
Right. But this time they're going to give it at least 2 years before they do it. They're not going to do anything crazy.
Now, I was just thinking, because you know how every once in a while DC teams up with Dark Horse a la Conan, like, because we already just had our we just had our first DC crossover with Marvel, because we have Conan Wonder Woman,
right,
as we say, but we could have a Frozen, like, Mr. Freeze Batman crossover or Captain Cold, and just have Marvel or Big Hero 6 and Superman.
Right. Well, okay, so here's this on the flip side, right?
Mm-hmm.
Marvel does the Star Wars comics, right?
Right.
IDW does the all-ages Star Wars comics.
Right, and they also do, like, something crossing... Oh, the Turtles crossing over with Batman.
Okay, so now what I'm saying is you do the Star Wars all-ages with the DC all-ages, and you do a Teen Titans Go Jar Jar Binks crossover.
That would be fantastic.
I would be all about that. There's a Teen Titans Go movie coming out this summer, an animated film.
Right.
And I think that might be my most anticipated film of the summer. I'm not even joking around. I'm almost as excited, if not more, to see that than I am Infinity War.
Black Panther.
Black Panther's not a summer movie. That comes out in like 2 weeks or 3 weeks or something.
Yeah, well, February is the new summer.
February is the new summer, where they take March and April off.
Exactly. But
we're almost out of blank you, it's January, so that'll be a nice change of pace.
Right. Isn't it called Teen Titans Go to the Movies?
Yes.
That's a fantastic title.
Yes, it is. And just to show you the lead time on how animation works, in the trailer, all the characters except for Robin are dressed up as Wonder Woman so they could cash in on the success of the Wonder Woman film.
Oh. Hopefully they'll also be wearing emoji costumes.
Right. Well, I think that was a different company that made those.
Well, that's okay. You can cash in on the emojis.
So, speaking of DC and their properties, they just announced that they're going to be doing another TV show. Metropolis TV show, a live-action show that is about the wondrous and awe-inspiring city of tomorrow before Superman shows up.
What?
It's coming to the folks who made the Gotham TV show for Fox.
Oh, boy. So it'll be uneven.
Allegedly. It's been greenlit for 13 episodes.
Right.
And it's going to be on DC/Warner Brothers' upcoming digital service, which is also going to have a Titans live action show, which is going to be coming out later this year. Also, Young Justice and the Harley Quinn Poison Ivy animated features are going to be on this DC Warner Brothers digital service. Now, I have a question, Todd. Remember that we've been teased and we'll get back to Metropolis here. But hasn't there been a Krypton show in the works forever?
It's going to be on Sci-Fi in the next few weeks, I think.
Oh, it is?
Yes, there's a Krypton show, and I want to know if these are going to tie in. No, I don't think so. I know the Krypton show is actually a prequel to the Snyder Man of Steel movie.
Let's hitch our wagon to that horse, huh?
That's right. You said horse, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. But yeah, so that's that. And then, so basically we're going to have two Superman shows without Superman.
Right.
Two Superman-based shows.
Krypton actually debuts March 21st.
All right, a few weeks. That's about right.
Right, right. It'll follow the adventures of Superman's grandfather, Seg-El,
who's in the comics.
Okay.
We actually read him a little while.
He's fighting to redeem his family's honor and save his beloved world from chaos.
Right. He spoiler alert, he does a lousy job.
Oh, boy.
Kaboom.
And I'm just reading the descriptions of folks that are, you know, like the description of who this character is. It appears as though, Todd, I don't know how I feel about this.
Okay, read it.
Okay, so Adam Strange and Vril Docs are going to appear on the show.
Oh, I have to watch it now. I love Vril Docs.
As are going to be Hawkgirl and Doomsday.
Well, it's going to be young Doomsday when he was a young, you know, whippersnapper.
He's going to be a hip teen.
Mm-hmm.
He's a chiseled 20-something bad boy.
Yep, he's going to be Doom's Dawn. He's not Day yet.
Oh,
he's just
goodness.
the early comings of Doomsday.
Or they'll just like, it'll be like, he's Doomy, right?
Oh. Doomy and Doxy together again.
Cameron Koof plays Seg-El, Superman's grandfather. Athletic, quietly confident, and in his 20s. The younger version of the grumpier character from the comics.
Oh, boy.
Todd.
Is that what it says?
Yes!
It doesn't say grumpier.
Yes, it does!
Oh, my God. It doesn't say grumpier. You're making that up. There's no way Young Hip Sci-Fi Network would say grumpier.
Ugh. I know we've been slacking. I know neither of us have gotten a chance to get to watching Black Panther.
Right.
But I think we have to do a service to the world and watch the first episode of Krypton.
All right. I'll do that.
Right. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. I understand you want to get like your brand out there. But the more and more shows you do of like, it's Batman without Batman. It's Superman without Superman. And now there's two different Superman shows without Superman in them. And I'm...
Just do Starman. That's all I want.
Yeah, there's other properties that you can make into something that you don't have to have this crazy budget. And you don't have to, like, worry about tiptoeing around licensing. And you don't have to worry about, oh, where does it fit in? Well, it fits into the Snyder Man of Steel film, but it doesn't fit into what's going on in the Justice League stuff. It's not connected to the CW shows. It's made by the guys who made Gotham, but it has nothing to do with that either. Even though this is also a show that's named after the city of the person who's not going to be in the show.
Right. For a company that wasn't all messed up like Marvel that owns all their own licenses.
Right.
It seems very convoluted.
Yes.
Shouldn't it honestly be like we own the rights for the movies, for the TVs, for the cartoons? Like you could literally have a streaming or whatever and have like the greatest universe ever. And it's like, no, we're just going to do, none of it makes any sense.
Right,
so
like even if they just decide, like, hey, on the digital platform, that's where we're going to have the Titans stuff, right? We're going to do a live-action Titans show, which we are already planning to do, and then everything else that we do is going to spin off of those characters. You could do a Starfire show. You know, you can't use Cyborg, of course, and, you know, Robin, Dick Grayson, whatever, is a sticky situation. There's tons of Titans. There's tons of things that you could go in. Hey, you want to do a sci-fi sort of thing? Legion of Superheroes.
They're in Supergirl.
What?
They're in Supergirl.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, Brainiac 5 just showed up.
Oh, come on. Is he played by James Marsden like he was on Smallville?
I don't know who he's played by.
All right.
But he does. He has wonderful wig work, from what I understand.
There's a million different things that DC could be doing instead of hitting these same... You know, like, Flash wasn't a big deal, and you made Flash into a big deal. Green Arrow wasn't a big deal, and you made Green Arrow into a big deal. Like, take a lesser-known character and try to polish him up for TV.
Wildcat, a boxing show.
Right! Do JSA. You know what I mean? I know a lot of the JSA characters have shown up in the CW, but there's other JSA characters. Do it as All-Star Squadron. Do it as... You know, Infinity Inc. There's a million different ways that you could tackle this.
That's right. I agree.
I don't know. I just like that in this they say, in the press release as well, it says, fans know that there's a world of difference between Metropolis and Gotham, suggesting that Metropolis will likely have a considerably different tone than Gotham. Superman's villains are also more powerful, cosmic, and rooted in science fiction than Batman's, so one can only imagine there'll be much less emphasis on street-level gangsters and crime families in this forward-thinking city.
Ooh, forward-thinking. That's the city I want to live in.
Isn't Intergang a big part of the Superman mythos?
Yes.
And, okay, so, and Superman's villains are more powerful, cosmic, and rooted in science fiction?
Yes.
More powerful. Like, people like the Toy Man.
The Prankster.
The Prankster. Now, if you wanted to do a live-action Mr. Mitzelpidelic show, sign me up.
Is it going to be Gilbert Godfrey still?
Why would you not have it be Gilbert Godfrey?
That would be fantastic.
Exactly. I don't know. Come on, DC, get your stuff together. This is something we haven't said in a while, but it bears mentioning here.
Wait, are you bad-mouthing DC?
Well, listen, the check cleared this week, so I had to do it.
Okay.
So, moving along, some conventions this weekend. There is the Cedar Rapids Con in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. You've got some media guests there, such as Zach Galligan of the Gremlins movies. Phil Hester, Gene Ha, but this is someone that you should have had at the top of your page. Not that I had to go digging through to find this person. Jason Aaron is going to be there.
Oh!
Wizard is having their first convention of 2018 in the St. Louis area. They still got Stan Lee.
Right.
Sadly, the rest of their media guests is a little bit of slim pickings. But I will say, if you are in the St. Louis area, I implore you to go see tangential friend of the show, someone who we're both a big fan of, Kyle Starks of Rock Candy Mountain fame, is going to be at Wizard World St. Louis. So he's a good guy. He makes one of the best comic books going today. So go check out his wares, if you will.
I want to meet him someday. My sketchbooks are calling.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
I've got sketches of his that I've got. Like, he's got sketch cards and stuff. I've got all sorts of stuff from him.
Right. I have to work on that.
You do that, Todd, and see how that works out for you.
Yeah. You know me. I never mess anything up.
Exactly. So while you're and the links to these conventions, of course, will be in the show notes, as will links to the soon-to-be-named network at soon-to-be-named-network.com or soon-to-be-named-network.tumblr.com. Where anytime any of the shows in our little network, our grouping of like-minded individuals, comes out, or anyone appears on another show, we'll make sure to publish it there. You know, of course, we have shows like Aim Downsides Podcast, Puzzle Warriors 3, Podvocacy, which I was on this past week talking for well over an hour and a half about wrestling. That's for you, Todd. Profane Arguments, Fresher in Parlance. Prodigal Sons, Prime Defective, sadly are dead shows, and that really bums me out. But we do have a new show on the network, Todd.
Do we?
A show called Brothers Prob. It is a HeroClix podcast. I was asked by a mutual friend if I would help promote his and his brother's HeroClix podcast, so here we are. Go check out, if you still play HeroClix, and I know people do, go check out the Brothers Prob podcast.
Okay.
Yes, indeed. So, moving along, digital sales and freebies. There's a ton of sales going on right now. Boom is having a sale on the series Giant Days. IDW is having a sale on all of their top shelf Graphic novels, Dragon Ball stuff is still on sale through the company Viz. Dark Horse is having a sale on something they're calling Indie Gems. And it's always so weird of what's considered an indie gem or not an indie gem, but definitely go and check that out. Looks like a lot of interesting stuff in there. Marvel is having a sale on their original graphic novels. Now, I wish it was all the old stuff, but it's mostly all the new stuff. Not to say that there's bad stuff in there. There's some good stuff in there. Like all those season one graphic novels that they did a couple years back are on sale. The Deadpool Bad Blood with art by Rob Liefeld is in that sale. And the only of the old ones that's in there is the God Loves Man Kills original graphic novel from back in the 80s.
Right.
The rest is all new stuff. Now, DC, on the other hand, is having a sale on what they're calling event books. It's all... Now, I was going to say it's all trades, but I'm liking this because I'm seeing a lot of weird stuff in here. And I like when they throw weird stuff in these sales. So, yes, of course, you're going to get, like, Batman, you know, Nightfall, No Man's Land, Sinestro Corps, 52 you're going to get. But then they also have in here some oddballs like Invasion, Legends, Panic in the Sky.
Wow.
Uh-huh. They also have DC 1 million along with all of the 1 million single issues. Like every, back in the day, both Marvel and DC would have an event and it's like, every book this month is a zero book, or every book this month is a minus one. Well, DC did one where like every book is jumping ahead to issue 1 million.
Mm-hmm. Do they have the Booster Gold 1 million that came years and years later?
Do they? They do.
Oh my God, that's fantastic.
Final Night is in there. Our World's at War, which was the collection of those annuals and everything.
I remember that.
Right, right. The Young Justice Sins of Youth is in there. Underworld Unleashed. War of the Gods.
Their best DC event book.
Right. Listen, I said they got the oddballs in here, so I gotta give them credit. But for me, the red letter pick that I would say to get out of this is Superman Emperor Joker.
I never read that.
Oh, boy. This was one of those things that it was a poor... I don't want to say that it was a poorly kept secret.
Mm-hmm.
But at least for in the solicitations, they never revealed who it was.
Right.
It always said Emperor Blank.
And they would
always
that.
Have anything that could possibly tip it off that it was the Joker blacked out in all the images.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, Superman wakes up in a world where there is no Batman, and the Joker is in control of the entire world, and seemingly has unlimited power.
Hmm.
How did this happen? Why did this happen? It's a really fun Superman story. One of the better ones of the more recent 2000s. Kind of an unsung one.
Right.
So that gets my recommendation for the week. You can get the entire trade, which I think ends up being a collection of 11 books for $6.
Not a bad deal.
Not at all. So, no new freebies. I think they have stopped doing new cycling in and out freebies through Marvel. So, the freebies list, unfortunately, is at a standstill, but I'll kind of always keep it there. If you as the listener see something, we missed out. Marvel did a gimmick over the weekend, actually, where they were giving away the first issue of Donny Cates' Thanos away for free. But the offer expired yesterday.
Oh, we should have recorded earlier.
No. No, I'm not recording early.
Gotcha.
I've seen enough of that. So let's get into what we read from this past week, Todd. I'm going to throw it to you to start off with Thanos number 15 first, since we were just talking about that first issue for free.
Which is written by Donny Cates and artist Jeff Shaw. This is the continuation of the Thanos Wins story, which is the Thanos of the future brings current day Thanos to his side, and we're slowly finding out why, because this old Thanos wants to get into the favor of death again, and he seems a little off with that he might be shocking, you know, a little bit mad, the Mad Titan. So he's like, I have to fight the Fallen One, which is a lost Herald of Galactus something, and the modern day Thanos is like, you're afraid of like some, you know, thing. You quiver. He's like, you don't know what's coming. Go get ready. So to get ready, he decides, modern day Thanos decides to take a tour of the palace, future Thanos' palace with Cosmic Ghost Rider. And you find out like what he has chained up in the basement. And we eventually find out who Cosmic Ghost Rider is, and it was probably the last person that I thought it would be, especially the way the character acts. That's a good way to deflect suspicion. But in the end, we'll get back to that. In the end, it's basically we find out who the Fallen One is, or kind of sort of what it is, and so it's going to be the two Thanoses fighting the Fallen One, whatever, you know, whatever that, however that turns out to be. But the most intriguing part of this is the fact that we find out who Cosmic Ghost Rider is.
So before we get into that, and of course spoilers with that, I loved the opening bit with Donny Cates in story as a writer putting over the penance stare.
Right.
That was some of the most creative writing in a comic book that I've seen in quite some time.
Right.
Putting over what the penance stare is for Ghost Rider, for those of you who are uninitiated, of course. A lot of people, it's the last thing they see before they die, all of the sins that they've committed reflecting back on them and so on and so forth. And then we see that this is what Thanos does every day. He essentially takes Cosmic Ghost Rider's head off, stares deeply into his eyes so he can experience the pain and the torture of what the penance stare is on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, that is so cool. You've just set the stage for what this, you know, what the story is going to be, what the book is going to be, and all of, oh my goodness. I was just, I'm like, that is so cool.
And on top of that, you have to give Jeff Shaw credit for the opening panel of just a full page of the Ghost Rider, the Cosmic Ghost Rider, staring you in the face, just as big as your face is. And that's just a great visual to set up like what you see as you look into his eyes, and then you turn the page and it's Thanos reliving his glory days, if you will, of misery. And just so not only does it get the stare over, but it also gets how bad Thanos is. It's like a triple. You know what I mean? You get everything you need right there.
So the other thing, of course, is how you say about Cosmic Ghost Rider, of course, who it is. I don't want to say that the misdirect with it was of the way that this character acts and has acted in these three issues that we've seen him. And next month we're going to get the origin of how we got to this point.
Mm-hmm.
However, I don't know if you saw the thing that Donny Cates himself had tweeted out from his
Twitter?
For Doctor Strange.
Right.
So we didn't discuss the most recent issue of Doctor Strange, where in the first issue of his run, he put the clues in there of what was behind that door.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw that.
No.
Okay. So, spoilers for Doctor Strange, even though we're not talking about Doctor Strange, but it's going to tie into the spoilers for Thanos, because they're both written by the same guy. Doctor Strange, Stephen Strange is not Sorcerer Supreme. Loki is Sorcerer Supreme. There's one door in all of everything that Loki can't get into, and of course, he's obsessed with it. Stephen Strange, knowing this, goes and recruits the help of the Sentry. In kind of a little bit of a twist, because the Sentry really hasn't been around in Marvel continuity for quite some time. And at the time, we don't know why Stephen Strange goes and gets the Sentry until the door is opened and the Sentry's opposite number, the Void, is what was trapped inside of there.
Mm-hmm.
In the first Donny Cates issue, as Loki is wondering what's in this door and how to get in here, the assistant, whose name escapes me right now, says that it would be best if we just avoid this. And the way the book is lettered, there's a space in between the A and the V in avoid.
Right.
So in that first issue, she is essentially saying, the Void is in here.
Right.
So I think if we go back through those first couple issues, there is more clues, maybe a little bit more subtly, than Ghost Rider having a skull on his outfit. Was it less pronounced in the previous issues than it was in this issue? So it would be a little bit more of a surprise that, like, oh, we should have seen the skull there the whole time.
There's a skull on his chest?
Yes. Look at Cosmic Ghost Rider's outfit.
He has a skull
on his chest.
There is. That makes sense. Did you know also that Thanos' throne is Galactus' head? Ugh. I'm dumb sometimes, Joe.
Right. But so what we're getting to here is Cosmic Ghost Rider is Frank Castle.
Mm-hmm.
And he just casually during the course of the thing mentions all of the things that have happened to Frank Castle over his career as a murderer.
A career murderer.
Just very casually mentioning these things. And obviously next issue we're going to find out how Frank Castle went from being the Punisher to essentially being Thanos' right-hand man.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of this is being set up of Old Man Thanos trying to convince our Thanos to assist him with the coming battle of the Fallen One.
Mm-hmm.
And this Ghost Rider reveal is just a side thing. But I say it's just as big as what else is going on.
I think it's all, you know, it's all the same. Like, it's all good, so that's what we want in the story.
Right. So. But yeah, so this book is really good. I know we mention it all the time. Hopefully you were able to pick up that free version that Marvel gave out over the weekend, and if not, it's definitely a comic that you should be buying anywho.
Right.
Speaking of other comics that you should certainly be buying anyway, Southern Bastards number 19, written by Jason Aaron with art by Jason Latour. So I guess this is the second to last part of this current storyline, and unless I'm mistaken, I think there's going to be one more issue of Southern Bastards. This issue is very late, sadly. And then we've got one more issue coming out next month, and there's nothing solicited for quite some time. I don't know if this is the end of the series, or I don't know if there's going to be another prolonged break, or whatever it is. But obviously, this is the moment where Roberta, Earl Tubbs' daughter, who the whole build of this series has been coming to, finally confronts Coach Boss.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they do a good job of continuing to show what a downright deplorable person Coach Boss is.
Right.
And even when he is at a low moment, he still is such a manipulative person.
Yep. And we even get to see Burt Reynolds again. McCluskey. I'm sorry, it's not Burt Reynolds, it's McCluskey and right. His monkey. Even though he's basically Burt Reynolds, I don't care what anybody says. This was a good issue. I'm glad, and I love a book that it's issue 19 and we're starting to see more of the character that the reveal in issue 4 that this was the person the book was probably going to be about. And we've seen her, what, three times? This is the third time we've seen her in 19 issues? We see her the first time we find out that she finds out that her father was killed. And then don't we see, like, her once more? Like, when she comes to the house and sees, like, the kid that got beat up, that Earl was protecting, and that's, like, pretty much it. That's, like, the whole... And then this is, like, the three times we see her.
There might be one more. There's been a couple times where she's just sitting in the background.
Okay.
There's one or two, but I understand what you're saying. Like, let's say, like, a featured more than one panel.
Right.
Sort of thing. Yeah. So, This book is great. Jason Aaron is great. I wish Thor wasn't doing as well as it was so that he could be doing 100 issues of this.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand what pays the bills.
That's right. He even said, wasn't he the one who gave you the like, wasn't he doing, like, Punisher at the same time?
As that he Wolverine, was doing yes.
Wolverine. So he knows how the checks work.
Right, and it's good to be a smart man in the world of comic books.
Yep.
But yeah, so I don't know if issue 20 is going to be the finale or another extended break, but it was a great cliffhanger for this issue, and I can't wait to see what happens next.
Me too.
So let's get into, last but not least, our preview review book, which was the preview review book about a month ago around this time as well, and that is Quantum and Woody number 2, written by Daniel Kibblesmith, past guest of the show, with art by Kano. As we saw at the end of last issue, we got a bunch of reveals, one specifically that Woody's father, his biological father, is still out there, and I would guess a group of burgeoning supervillains approach Woody, essentially saying, we could break the bond that you have with Quantum regarding the bands if you just do what we tell you to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, this book is beautiful. I love the way that it's colored. I love the way that it's laid out. And I know we've said before that it has a very Superior Foes of Spider-Man feel.
Yeah, I know right where you're going. Go ahead.
But there is and I don't want to give away any gags or anything, but if you've ever read Superior Foes of Spider-Man, where they do a lot of interesting stuff with
Panel layout
and locate, like, in comic location.
Mm-hmm.
They do a little bit of that in this issue as well, across a 2-page spread.
Right.
So one of the things that they have sent Woody, this group, to go get from where Quantum is working, essentially as the night watchman for
a warehouse
for all stuff from supervillains.
Confiscated tech from supervillains.
Right, so the thing that he is going to get is the Epsilon box. And, you know, they do, like, little things. It's like, here's this, it does that. Here's this, it does that. And then it says Epsilon box. What does it say?
You do not ask
yeah,
about
you
the
do
Epsilon.
Not ask about the Epsilon box, right? So, you've got a lot going on in this issue. The previous issue was more so to introduce or reintroduce you to these characters. This issue is off and running with plot and storyline and developments and all sorts of crazy stuff.
And plenty of gags.
Plenty of gags. So again, it's, you know, a book that is being released today in stores as you're listening to this, or digitally, depending on how you get your books, of course. But if you didn't pick it up last month on our recommendation, at the very least, go check out all the fancy, what's this month, gold holofoil covers?
Yes.
Who could forget the whole series is a gag. But it's a great gag. You know, this could be a gag that fell flat, but it definitely does not fall flat, at least in this podcaster's opinion.
No, it does not.
Right, you've got the standard cover, the extreme ultra foil, the extreme ultra foil chase, the icon variant, the blank cover, the pre-order edition. Now, I would hate to be a fancy gentleman who's still trying to collect all these variant covers.
Well, after the second printing, oh boy.
Oh, boy, indeed. So, yeah, Quantum and Woody number 2. Definitely check that one out. If you didn't check out 1, check out 2. Go get 1 and 2. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we've read from this past week. Let's get into what we're looking forward to coming out this week. If you head over to longboxheroes.com, every Tuesday around 5:30 Eastern Time or so, we put up the pull post, which is a link to a link to all the books that are coming out this week, whether you get your books in print, whether you get them digitally, whether you wait for the trades, whether you wait for the hardcovers, the oversized omnibuy. DC still doesn't do those newsprint showcase editions, do they?
No, they got rid of those. Mm. But they still do absolutes. So.
Oh, they still do absolutes, right. So however you get your books, be forewarned, be forearmed, know what's coming out, be ready, that you have enough money in your Bitcoin account, and make sure that you have enough bags and backs to store all your comic books in.
Right. I'm not even going to say bags and boards, but okay.
I do it to trigger you, Todd.
You do, and you nailed it. You know what, though? I'm the same way. I can't say long box, short box. I always say long box, half box.
Oh, see, half box is wrong.
Right. Short box is the way to go.
Right. Where do you pick up half box from?
I don't know.
On the streets.
Where did you pick up backs? They're not backs. They're boards. Bags and boards.
You put them on the back of your comic.
Yeah, but you can put it over in the front of a comic, too.
It's a board that you put on the back of a comic.
Oh, my God, you're killing me.
Right.
But anyway.
I know what I'm talking about.
Good. I'm glad one person does.
So the two things that Todd and I are doing here for 2018 is the one thing that we always do, which is attempt to guess what the other is most looking forward to coming out this week. The other is keeping a running dollar amount of what we're purchasing in comics, less supplies. Now, I want to say this. Todd currently in the lead dollar amount. Even though we have different books this week, our dollar total this week was exactly the same.
Was it really?
Yes, it was.
See, I can't tell because it doesn't have the dollar. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So I don't know what yours is, but...
Take my word for it. It is exactly the same.
Wow.
Because, again, listen. Okay, so the dollar numbers are there. Both of us were $41.90 this week.
Yikes. I don't like knowing what I pay in comics.
Listen.
Whose idea was this?
I was just going to say, whose terrible idea was this? So I started the show, so I look at Todd's list, see what he's most looking forward to coming out. Quantum and Woody is off the list because we talked about it for preview.
Yes, I was just going to ask that.
I know your feelings on that. I don't want to belabor the point too much. I'm going to take a guess and say Flash Annual number 1.
It is Flash Annual number 1. Because this is the beginning of the Wally West storyline.
All right.
Right. So, I'm looking at your list, Joe.
Keep doing that.
And you have a list, and I'm looking at it. Is the book you're looking to forward most, or however you say it, also Flash Annual 1?
No.
Oh, what is it?
Dark Knight's Metal number 5.
Oh, you're one of the metalheads.
I have not given up the ghost on that series yet.
Right.
That's all I'll say.
Oh boy.
You know, there's one more issue after this.
And then I don't know. I think they added a few issues.
You think they added a few issues?
Because the ending changed.
Right.
That joke never gets old for me, by the way.
And I think this issue might be late.
But I don't hear you screaming about it.
Well, I do, but nobody listens.
Okay.
Right, and then there is only one more issue. It is a 6-issue miniseries, outside of all the one-shots and everything else.
They took issues away from Metal and gave it to Doomsday Clock.
Oh, that's what it was.
Right.
So, I was right this week.
Yes, you were.
We're all tied up.
But it's early.
That's right. There's at least 11 more months left in the year.
We hope. I haven't done the math, but that sounds about right.
Math is hard.
It is.
So if you head over to longboxheroes.com after you're checking out the poll post, be sure to check out everything else that we have over there. Everything that Todd and I have ever done on the internet, whether it be past editions of this show, past editions of After Dark, past poll posts, Todd and Joe have issues. Everything else that has ever been done by us exists over at longboxheroes.com. You might have to do a little bit of digging. One of those little subject lines across the top of the page should help you narrow some of the stuff down. Or if you wanted to purchase something, you could purchase stickers or a shirt with our fancy logo on them. Our shirts are very fancy, and if you squint, maybe you can convince someone that it might be a Bullet Club shirt, if that'll help get the sales up a little bit.
Bullet Boys, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ballet Club shirts, too.
Mm.
Or if you don't want a shirt, you don't want a sticker, of course, anything that you want, for the most part, I'd say 99.9% of things in the world can be purchased through Amazon, and if you use our little referral link at the top of the page, we're the ones telling you that Amazon exists. That's why they give us a little bit of a kickback. Some of the things purchased through the Amazon click-through this past week were someone purchased, and I'm guessing this was the same person, who purchased the Lying Cat and Prince Robot the Fourth Funko Pops. Someone also purchased the audiobook versions of the Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, and something called Get Well Soon, History's Worst Plagues and the Heroes That Fought Them.
Ooh.
Now, Todd, I'm going to have... Well, let me see if I can send this to you.
Where are you going to send?
One of the other things that were purchased through our Amazon link.
Are you sending it through Skype?
I'm going to send you a link. Hopefully this works. I know you like accessing things on your phone and your computer and everything else while we're doing the show.
Ooh, I just got it.
Right. So someone also purchased Zero Ya Men's Side Zipper Design Moto Jeans Style Metallic Gold.
You know what they would go with, Joe?
What would they go with, Todd?
A silver jacket.
Well, they do have silver pants. I'm thinking someone out there is attempting to be golden Stan Malibu.
Oh my goodness. What if they collide? If they're going to be golden Stan Malibu, then I'm going to be platinum Stan Malibu.
I need to be a faux gold Stan Malibu, whatever tarnishes the quickest.
Oh, rust.
Rust color. Gangrene Stan Malibu.
Ugh.
So thank you everyone who purchased any and all things through our Amazon click-through this past week. Todd, did we have anything on the Art Attack this week?
Yes, we did. We got sent a artist, Lee Chirolis. I don't know how to say the name. Who does, I guess, Little Guardians. I don't recognize the character that it is, but there are a lot of musical notes in the picture, so I'm guessing it's a musical character. That's all I got, Joe.
All right. It is a nice sketch done in the fashion of how Art Balthazar and Franco used to do stuff before someone ruined them doing sketches on Bags and Backs for everyone.
Yeah. I think I know that person.
I think I know that person as well. So we do have a letter from the mailbag, and there's an interesting question.
Ask away.
Okay. So, essentially what it is, this person asks, I have more comics than I might ever able to be read again. What's the balance? Do you, in rereading your favorite books, continuing to add to the hoard, when is the decision made to get rid of stuff, and how is the decision made to get rid of things?
That is an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with how and, you know, when is hardly, because I'm a diehard collector, so there's not a lot that I get rid of, but every once in a while, I will trim it down the actual comic books, and there's not a lot that I get rid of. It might get easier as I go on. But where my problem comes into it is the knickknacks that I pick up over time. Like the comic book pins and buttons and where I almost become a hoarder in that stuff because I don't want to get rid of it for two reasons. One is because I'm kind of cool with it, but two is anything that you get rid of, you're not going to be able to get back as easy. So it's a weird, like a weird equation I do with what I'm going to get rid of. But since I'm a bachelor who has my own house, when I'm not running out of room, that would change a lot if I did not have the room to store a lot of this stuff. I'm a bachelor. I don't have somebody going, oh, like you have to, this room here has to be this or whatever. I'm like, nope, just keep piling it in that room. Oh, look, I have an Avengers, print from when I went to see Avengers in IMAX. I can't throw that out. So I don't, that is a tough question. When it's time to throw stuff out or get rid of stuff or sell or however you're going to do it.
Right. So for me, it's an in-the-moment sort of decision, I guess would be the best way that I could say it.
Right.
The day is coming, and actually I was planning on doing it sometime this week, but I don't think that's going to happen, of going through what currently exists to see what could be shuffled off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more or less, I go through the boxes, I look at the books, and I see what sort of emotion it stirs in me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just as an example, when I'm going to go through those books, getting rid of stuff. The Geoff Johns Flash stuff, I'm never getting rid of.
Right.
Okay. Fables, at the very least, those first 100 issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm never getting rid of those. Even though I do have hardcover collections of maybe like the first 50, right?
Mm-hmm.
But those first 50 of Fables are so good, I got no problem in double dipping on those. When I had Sandman and Triplicate, both paperback, omnibus, and single issues, the decision was made to move the single issues away.
Did you do that already?
Yes, that was done a long time ago.
Wow, mistake.
Okay. But a book like a Sandman or a Preacher or something of that, Starman even, is something that is an easier thing to convince someone to read if you're handing them one book that has a complete story as opposed to a stack of individual issues, at least to me.
Oh, I agree. I just meant because of what they're kind of, the Sandman keep going up, you know what I mean?
So I know that you do this that I'm going to mention, right?
Mm-hmm.
You turn over your Walking Dead issues.
Yes, I haven't done it in a while. I haven't done it in almost 100 issues, but yes.
Right, so again, a period of time, you were taking your single issues of Walking Dead, flipping them over into the trades. I could take, because I don't have the first six, but I have single issues of Walking Dead from 7 up. I do have 1 through 6 of the first set of reprints, which in and of themselves also go for, a princely sum.
Right.
I could take, 3 of those first 20 issues in the key issue run,
mm-hmm.
and I could flip those 3 issues, and I could probably buy the oversized hardcovers of Walking Dead up to date.
Right.
But I'm not going to do that. I like having that as a full single issue run.
Mm-hmm.
Guardians of the Galaxy, on the other hand.
The Abnett and Lanning?
The Abnett and Lanning run I'm very attached to. I like that very much. That kind of awoken, for me, I don't want to say love, but definitely appreciation for the cosmic side of Marvel things.
Right.
The follow-ups by Brian Michael Bendis and Jerry Dugan and other people who have kind of come in afterwards, those can go. Those mm-hmm. can leave the collection and not be replaced. They're not terrible comics by any stretch of the imagination, but they don't hold that same sentimentality for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, for me, it's, I guess, in order of keeping a book is sentimentality, rereadable, and ability to share with others is why right. I would keep books in my collection.
See, I'm of the same mind. We're on the kind of the same mind, but there's also the collectability for me. Like, I'm a collector.
Mm-hmm.
So even though like just weird things, like I have a, and also newer is easier to get rid of because I don't have the sentimentality that I do. But like for years there, I was trying to put a collection together of the stuff that was my wheelhouse, like the late 80s stuff, like, you know, like Checkmate and Outsiders and like all that stuff. And like, so people like, oh, you have a complete run of Checkmate from the 80s. Like, yes, I do. And I don't want to get rid of it. It's not reprinted, but I don't really see myself ever going back and reading it. But these were all the things that I hunted down, like, you know, like a rabid dog when I was going to cons before eBay and stuff like that. So there is a sentimentality to some of the stuff I have. And I just have so many books that like, I remember I have to have over 80 short boxes of comics. I don't believe in long boxes anymore. I'm getting old. So I have these short boxes, and every once in a while I'll go through them and I'll be like, all right, I go through 80 short boxes, 80 short boxes. If I can find half a short box that I could get rid of, that was what happened the last time I went through and did a culling of stuff. So I don't know. It's the same thing, but it's a lot harder. And I know I don't want to rehash over the same old ground. If I had to move, like if tomorrow I had to move to a smaller house, maybe it would be easier. But if you got the room, keep it. That's the way I look at it.
That's not a bad thing. And even further still, like, you know, we know people that have flipped all of their single issues and gone completely digital.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying,
you know, whether that's a size of a living space or just ease of accessibility, you know, that might be something that suits you if you are a more tech savvy person.
And it's funny because just two things where you said The Walking Dead, I wish I never flipped those earlier issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were worth something, but they weren't worth what they are now. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So that's kind of what I did. And on a side note for collection, I might go take a picture of the closet I have upstairs that is filled with Bowen statues in boxes because I have no room to display them.
That's your own problem.
That is my own problem, but that's part of a collection.
Yeah.
That I have a small closet full of statues that someday, you know, I'll display, but it ain't happening anytime soon. So, yes. At some point, in the immortal words of Tyler Durden, the things you own end up owning you. So,
I'd like to think that my comics do not own me.
My comics own me.
But I, you know, there's we're having a fun conversation talking about comics, and you know, we're going to get into discussion about The Flash here in just a matter of moments. I don't know. There's just I do have some thoughts in regards to what is and could and may happen in my comics.
Uh-oh.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And obviously, a lot of times you think those sort of things, you don't think those sort of things. But then there's other times where the reality of it kind of becomes real, I guess. Well, I'm trying to be very cryptic about this, you know?
I got you, Joe. And now let's just say I'm going to go on my side, and I'm not going to get too morbid. We'll move on. But right now, I'm not married. I have no kids. So tomorrow, I, you know, fly off a bridge.
Right.
Who gets my stuff? What family member's even going to know what's worth anything?
Right.
It's like just alone in my artwork. We've discussed like, Like, I'm hoping my brother can get help. You know what I mean? But in a more morbid way, where I'm going to be, I'm not really going to care about it. So it's going to be, it's a you problem, royal you. Like, so that's the way I look at it. But we can move on before I even get more morbid.
Yep. Do you have the fake stuff marked?
No, I don't actually.
Okay. I would just do that at least.
You know what though? There are three people that my brother would take stuff to who know that that's fake.
Okay, good.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
So.
All right. So, I think that covers the main part of the show. We're going to get into some discussion about The Flash. As we had mentioned before, we still haven't gotten a chance to watch Black Lightning yet, but we will. Hopefully, maybe eventually, but now with the looming threat of Krypton over our heads. I don't know. That might take precedence over pretty much everything, reading some of those character descriptions.
You know what the sad thing is? I could tell you how Krypton's eventually going to end.
Spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
So, Flash this past week, episode 11 of the season. The title of the episode was The Elongated Night Rises.
Which is a great title.
I don't know.
Great title. It's based on the movie Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, I don't know if you knew that.
I thought it was just random words they put together and hope for the best.
See, now that you know, it might be a better title.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, Prankster breaks out of jail. And Prankster? Ralph has to defend, not Prankster. We're
Trickster.
Trickster. I have Prankster on my mind from talking about Metropolis from before.
Right.
Trickster breaks out. He has his mom to help him this time.
Right.
Ralph has to...
Who was named Pranks, I think.
No, what her name is just Prank.
Prank.
Yeah, not plural, just Prank.
Right.
A lot of their pranks revolve around dipping people in acid or pouring acid on people. So mm-hmm. They're not really elaborate pranks.
They're good, though.
They are good. They're effective. They do get the drop on Ralph, and it's kind of to show how Ralph is, still has a lot to learn as a superhero. Meanwhile, Barry is still in prison, trying to be a good boy, but he scuffs a guy's shoes. And luckily, former World Wrestling Entertainer and future World Wrestling Entertainment Hall of Famer Goldberg is there to assist him.
You mean Big Sur?
It's Goldberg, Todd. I don't know. Listen, I don't know no Big Sur. Barry's dad didn't call him Big Sur. I think Barry's dad knew he was Goldberg as well.
Don't you disrespect Big Sur of Injustice League fame.
Who was he partnered up with? Was it Weather? Not Weather Wizard. It was...
Major Disaster.
Major Disaster, yes.
Club JLI, when they busted the blackjack table. Winner!
So, you know, obviously Barry's still in the show. He's not doing a lot of in-costume superheroics, but mm-hmm. He's still doing a lot of Speed Force-y stuff.
Right.
Like when he ultra super vibrates his hand through the glass so he and Iris can hold hands, somehow not breaking the glass or exploding her.
That doesn't work that way.
No?
No. No. That was Barry can vibrate through stuff. Wally, not the TV show, the comic one, was the one who, when he vibrated through stuff, exploded.
Okay.
So.
I just know there had been a lot of times during the course of this TV show, there were people who were being threatened by death by vibrating hand.
Yes, you could do that to the heart. That was what Eobard used to do.
He would get them in the stomach sometimes.
He'd get them anywhere. And that what you do is you'd shake, you'd vibrate your hand, put it in, then you'd solidify it.
Mm.
And it would make them all icky inside.
Gotcha. So as long as Barry didn't put his hand inside Iris's hand, she would have been okay.
Yes. Right. And even if he did it inside her hand, it probably wouldn't have killed her. What he was doing was, you know, messing up internal organs.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
So I like the episode. I like, so far we're only two episodes into the second half of the season. I do like that they are showing a character arc and growth with Ralph.
I do too. I like the fact that he thought he was invulnerable and couldn't die, so that's why he was a hero. But then he ends up making the call to help people when he could be hurt. But the big part that made me laugh, I love this episode, is the fact that Prank and the actress who played Prank, like Mark Hamill from the old Flash TV show, is the same girl who was Mark Hamill's sidekick on the old John Wesley Shipp Flash TV show.
Oh, look at that.
So, like, when they have the footage of the paper, it's like, oh, it's like, here's the shot of young Mark Hamill with Prank. It's her. It's the actual actress coming back to play the sidekick like Mark Hamill did from the old TV show. So I thought that was absolutely that hysterical. So you didn't know that?
No, I did not know that.
So now you know, and knowing's half the battle, Joe.
Right.
Good episode.
Yes, good episode. I like the design. Again, it wasn't as memorable for me the first time that he appeared, but I like the way that they do the Trickster's costume in this. They do it like the new younger Trickster from the comic books, and it's a costume.
Scott Collins.
Right, okay, so it's the Scott Collins design, but it's something that obviously could have translated poorly to live action.
And it transfers absolutely gloriously in my mind.
I think it does. I'm not joking around or anything. I think it looks cool.
I think it really does, and I think it pops. I think what Scott Collins did really comes over, and I look at it, I'm like, it's just a visual feast for the eyes. Mm-hmm.
Now, another thing I need to mention is the post-credits thing, or the, you know, the stinger at the end of the episode, right?
Right, what was that?
Okay, so Cisco and Ralph go to Jitters, they buy some coffee, neither one of them have money.
Ah, pay
and
it forward.
And the girl comes up and is like, I'm gonna pay for you, you know, hey, pay it forward, blah, 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 right?
Right.
And she seems to know who these two are, seems to know that they're also superheroes, and is writing in a journal in that funky writing that Barry was doing at the beginning of the season.
Right. She's the girl who was at the wedding telling Barry not to forget to say I do.
Okay. Now, Imdb claim. Oh, that's right. It is. Okay, because what I was going to say was she's not named,
mm-hmm.
but she's under the Imdb credits for Supergirl, not for Flash. That's why I didn't connect the two.
Right. So she's either XS, the Legionnaire, or one of the Tornado Twins, as far as I'm concerned. She's a descendant of Barry from the future. And Iris. And the language that she's using, I believe, is the Legion language. That might be on Supergirl, but I don't know. Because I know Legion's on Supergirl.
Right. So I did like the return of that. That made mm-hmm. me, you know, happy to see where they're going to go future with that storyline, you know?
Right.
But all in all, I thought this was a really good episode of The Flash. A fun episode.
I've been really liking this season. I like the fun quality of it over the, you know, last season's just, you know, mopiness of killing Iris. So, I'm having a blast this season.
Yes. So, I guess, is there anything else that we need to discuss? Anything I forgot, or?
No, I think that's it.
All right, so everyone, thank you for listening to episode 383 of Longbox Heroes. For Todd, this is Joe saying we'll see y'all here next week.
Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.
Woo!